I am Nkosinathi Ndlovu, and this is Tech Central Show, the business technology show by Tech Central, brought to you today by MTN Business. Visit MTN Business at mtnbusiness.co.za to check out their products and services, and we thank them for partnering with the show to bring you these great interviews. My guests in studio today are the winners of the FNB 2024 App of the Year Award. In studio is Lesego Fenga and Kagiso Masai, the Chief Technology Officer and Chief Executive Officer of Matric Live. Gentlemen, good day and welcome to the show.
Good day. Thank you.
Awesome. Good day.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
My pleasure. Gents, could you start by telling us what Matric Live is and the problem that you are trying to solve?
Matric Live itself primarily, which is our flagship product, because what's often not known is the fact that we've started building a business in and behind what we have. But what we want for Matric Live is a mobile-led high school learning application. It covers grade 10 to 12, and what we've taken is the South African public curriculum, which is CAPS, for the FET phase, and we've turned it into three key steps, which is learning, playing, an exam, because as kids that grew up frustrated with how we learned earlier on, we decided to make learning fun. And what's very important about it is that it's a supplementary learning platform. We don't replace what happens in class. We effectively bridge the gap of the learning that is lost between class and at home, because not everyone can afford tutors and not everyone actually has educated parents that can help them with homework. So that's where we come in. We are a supplementary fun learning platform.
Yeah. Okay, so could you describe to some of our users who haven't seen the app how the app works?
Yeah, so like Kagiso said, right, there's three pieces within the platform that we have, right? So we have Learn, Play, and Exam, right? With Learn, this is primarily where learners are consuming the content they're learning. This could happen either through video, either through interactive, you know, material that we have, or just your static PDF files, you know. So we cover like those kinds of, you know, learning styles. By the way, just so that I don't forget, the app by the caters for grade 10 to 12, and it also supports over 12 plus subjects, right? And then also we then have the play part. This is where, you know, learners can challenge one another, you know, they can gain end points, rank up a leaderboard, you know. So this is whereby we are adding that, you know, fun, scintillating gamification kind of element to the platform. And then we have the exam simulator, right? So that's the exam part. This is basically where we are kind of, you know, providing learners with what an exam actually feels like. You know, even the types of questions that you find there, it's not like choose A or B. It actually wants real answers. And our algorithms, you know, because we are using AI, we basically check that and decide if you are correct, you know. Because and also this works for like complex subjects like your maths, you know, even like, you know, or content heavy subjects like your history, you know. So we basically have that. So those are the three kind of, you know, main features of the platform that we have. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And when did you come up with the idea of the application?
So the idea actually started off just after I'd finished my matric, you know. So I come from a quintile 1-3 school, you know.
And which year was this?
This was 2017, by the way. 2017, yeah. So this was back in 2017. So I come from a quintile 1-3 school. And, you know, most of the time in school, we had to kind of like share a textbook, right? Because if you know how, you know, each year learners lose textbooks and then there's less supply of, you know, textbooks. And then now you find a situation whereby you're stuck at home and you want to learn, but there's no textbook because you have to share. You know, this learner takes the textbook the next day you take it, or sometimes they even forget.
Someone's taken the textbook home. Yes.
Exactly. So it was like that. You literally had to rely on taking a lot of notes. But instead of doing that as well, what I mostly did was I would buy like a midnight data, you know. That time it was starting at 1 a.m. up until 6 a.m. And I would go on Google and YouTube and just download a bunch of videos, you know, basically downloading resources. And I would also, you know, go into private schools because they had like, you know, their websites where they actually would provide learners with their resources, and I would go there as well, even though it's not aligned with the curriculum, but most of the content you would actually be like, no man, this feels like exactly what I was learning in school. So that's basically how I used to basically, you know, kind of supplement my learning. So after I finished my matric, I was like, no man, let me build a platform that's going to provide learners with these kinds of resources so that you have them in hand, you know. And that's basically how I started with the platform.
Yes.
It took about 3 months to build it at first, and it was a horrible version by then. You know, there's a famous saying that if you're not embarrassed if you're not embarrassed by the first version of your platform, then you have started off too late. So that's basically how the platform came about. But also Gahisho, how he joined, he was actually working on his other platform called Sync, and then we kind of merged. I think he'll bring more light to exactly how we actually came about to partner. Yeah.
Yes, coming to that, you know, going from idea to fully fledged app, and I mean your app now is it's clean, it's seamless. You probably faced a lot of challenges both technically and financially. Could you tell us about some of the challenges you surmounted?
I mean, the first thing where it starts, I'd think even from the platform and technical perspective, and this is why a lot of the market gets shocked. They look at the quality of the product and then they ask how big our technical team is, you know, and reality is it takes a lot to build such a quality product with a small team. And what happens is that the challenges that you will meet is technology changes and it advances very quickly. So what that effectively means is that you've got a small team that has to maintain the product as usual and also be thinking about its next phase, maintain it, and then even finally even build it for the next phase. We've been lucky that we have an amazing team that can do that. But that is the one challenge from a technical perspective. And also because we are mobile first, different platforms have different requirements. It is to a degree much easier to publish on Android than it is on iOS. So having to adjust every time you're making it available. And then, for example, when Huawei decoupled out of Android, we had to now make Matric Live available on Huawei App Gallery for the kids who were our active users whose parents got them Huawei devices. So even the unanticipated challenges do show up. That's the first part. On the commercial end, because we went viral as a free app, it's not easy to be sustainable. And at first, Lesego was a one-man show in terms of technical capacity. And I was working. I was in the financial industry for about 13 years, and I would maintain our operating costs. I mean, one of the most funniest days was actually first month of COVID. The app crashed because of traffic. It crashed because we had so many users and we were number one on Android. And I remember Lesego blowing up my phone. Mind you, that time I'm still on a call, on a Teams call for my former employer. And because of the frequency of calls I saw, I knew it was an emergency. So I paused the call and then I answered. And then he told me we were down. So I literally had to log in even into my own personal account and use my own card details to upgrade our platform, our server size on our server maintenance. Right there and then, you know, so those are the kind of challenges you come up with. But fortunately, we had a balance. Like, I'm quite nimble commercially. I was fortunate enough to have enough savings to maintain whenever we need something. And that's how we operated up until we managed to get angel investors to help us supplement.
Just talking about that. So at this point now, how are you funding the platform?
So we are one sustainable. To the upside is I think we are on track to finish this financial year in a net positive. We've had immense growth this year. And it feels surreal, you know, so early in your startup life. But reality is we've become creative with how we make money. Number one, the key part is, like I said, I came from a corporate background. So the one thing I worked on was B2B2C deals where we know that corporate has vested interest in education. We have the community. How do we create a circular economy where corporate pays us, We keep the platform free, and then we create a data science as a service where, without disclosing and infringing any personal rights, we give our partners performance data so that they can see what is happening. Because like I said, again, they operate in the economy. So one, we've got a B2B2C model. Two, we also now do have a distribution, a content distribution element to ourselves. So one of the biggest financial service providers in the country creates financial literacy content, which is aligned with the mathematics literacy curriculum. So that specific content and journey is distributed through our platform. That's where learners study and align with that. And finally, as well, we do work with the government to a degree through their extended arm, the National Education Collaboration Trust. We give them insights on what's happening in each province across different subjects, because that way they are the central part, and then they can distribute this data to the district heads and actually see our government get to a point where it makes data-informed insights. So those diverse and agile revenue streams have actually seen us, one, become resilient, two, diversify and not have a lot of concentration risk. And again, we're still learning. We're creating new technology that we will likely share directly on a B2B model.
Okay, excellent, James. But now, you spoke about the team a little bit, right? I can imagine that, yes, there's the technical element, there's the commercial element, but then there are more specialist elements, like how do I break down the syllabus into chunks that I actually know are workable for a student at such and such a school in such and such a place? Could you tell us about the partnerships you've arranged there and how you're getting that right?
Yeah, that ties back to our partnership with the National Education Collaboration Trust. So I'm very comfortable, even as we can say, initially, we are not educators, but we had taken it as far as our perspective, right? Yeah. And when the platform went viral, the government did ask us, how do you know that you're giving kids the right information? But because we were viral and we already had over 500,000 learners, they, instead of shutting us down, they gave us subject specialists to review our content. And that's where our partnership with the National Education Collaboration Trust began. We became a critical component of the government's remote and digital learning strategy, was a matrix. Beyond the reporting, they also do review our content, as well as they now provide us with the study guides. We got the first batch of like their 87 plus study guides, which were built straight on the back of COVID. And then it's well segmented. And we've now accepted, we're not content creators. We partner with such entities in order to distribute the content.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Excellent. And looking at this, I mean, what would you say is the impact of Matric Live on South African students? I would like that. That's exactly what I'm looking for.
I mean, one, I'm quite sure I can say this because it's not a lie. I'm just worried about if it will cost us money. But Tyler, the Grammy Award winner, is our alumni 2019.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
She is. I think you should claim that Grammy. Don't you think?
You know, she
I think the Grammy is because of you.
Two, I remember like 2022, beginning of 2022, when the IEB results were being published. We got a call from one of the key people at the NECT, and two of the top 10 IEB learners, which is not even what we target. They were being interviewed on Radio Sonar Grens, and they were being asked what did they use, and they mentioned Matric Live, which was like, But beyond that, you can see on the performance part, I mean, like when we were monitoring 100,000 learners for the NECT, there was a cohort in 2022 that we started with, and across the mock exams, they were averaging about 30. By the end of that year, that cohort was averaging 60.7. And that is testament, you know, and we continue to meet people that tell us anecdotally, again, what the app has done for them. And they all use it in their own way. Some go there to play, some go there to learn, some go there to test themselves. And that's the part that works. But
Well, I just wanted to add to what Kagiso was saying as well, you know. I think even with COVID, like, we literally played kind of like a key role. I believe we actually even saved the academic year. We were even identified by BASA, you know, the Banking Association of South Africa, as one of the entities that actually saved the, you know, the academic year at that time. And, you know, like, so it kind of like shows the kind of impact that we had, because learners were stuck at home. They had no alternatives, but luckily Matric Life was there at the right time, at the right place. And plus, Matric we have made there, it free to the learners. You know, the quality of the stuff that we have, you know, you know, people charge for that, but we were able, you know, to make it free because we understand our market. And, you know, I'm telling you, there's thousands and thousands of learners that have, you know, probably graduated even now, you know, that are very thankful for the platform that we have built.
Wow. Amazing, James. Amazing. So what can we look forward to in terms of innovations on the application?
Yeah, no, there's exciting stuff that we're currently working on. Unfortunately, we are not going to be having any holidays here because we are already in 2025. Yeah. You know? We are already in 2025.
Yes.
There's nice features that we are adding, you know, like we on the platform, there's this. So we have improved our exam simulator. So what it does now, it actually kind of like aligns with the annual teaching plan, right? So let's say you want to practice, you know, it's like you want to practice, like, let's say your first term, you know, it actually gives you questions that we know that you have to at least kind of like know the material of within that time frame of the, you know, academic year. So basically we are tying it back like that. We have also have another platform called Assessor, which is more focused on teachers. So it's an assessment platform that we have built for teachers, you know, and private tutors, you know. So that platform as well, we definitely going super live. We are, for now, it's still at beta, but, you know, it's being tested out. It's being used. Yes. So there's a lot of exciting stuff. And even, you know, with AI, there's a lot of stuff that we're doing with AI where, you know, even on Assessor, you literally can, you know, turn a video, a YouTube video into, you know, questions. You can basically record your session within a classroom. And instead of making questions after your lesson, you can just basically, you know, say, tell the AI platform to basically generate questions based on what you just taught. So there's a lot of exciting stuff that we're building. So we're definitely ready for 2025. Yes. Yeah.
And beyond.
Okay, excellent. And then, and then, in terms of, I think right now you're looking at the, I don't know which phase it is, but it's from grade 10 to matric, right? Could we see you playing at a more foundational phase, or even at a tertiary phase? Are there plans there?
Yeah, I mean, the one key thing is that it hasn't been for lack of interest; it's just been capacity, and sometimes you just need to tackle what's in front of you, and do it well before you expand. Because all learning stages have their own nuances, you know. We do see ourselves creating lifelong learners. Practical example, I mean, reality is we lose 2/3 of our active users at the end of every year when they finish matric. How do you kind of maintain that relationship in order, not even out of selfish terms, in order to have a thorough end-to-end journey to say that person eventually became a doctor, you know, and see your impact on the society from an end-to-end perspective. And one answer is that no one entity is going to do it on its own. So part of the thinking is, do you find some key strategic partners who are already in that place? And then you have some form of funnel where you guys can have an agreement and have a longer journey. That could be one. It's a win-win. You know, maybe 40% of 80 is better than 40% of nothing, for example. Think about that way. And even beyond that is to say, never mind grades, think curriculums. You know, thinking about the likes of, if we can find our way around it, bring A-levels into the platform. All of a sudden, now we are even attractive to people in the private schooling market, because if you have Cambridge or A-levels, you are more attractive. And that opens up immediately 26 other African countries. And again, even the short courses, the open courses beyond high school, because not every child is going to go to a traditional university. and we need to start thinking creatively about the market that we have. Do you get partnerships on the vocational space? Start thinking that way. So it is an area of interest. The key part for us right now is for Lesego and I to build a business in such a way that we've got enough capacity to focus on that while the underlying foundation can keep going to a degree without our degree of involvement as it is now.
As it is at present. Yeah, it sounds like you've got your work cut out, gentlemen. now you win the FNB App of the Year. Firstly, congratulations. I think I've said this to you before. Well done on winning that. But what does this then mean for your business? Was it a form of validation, by the way? Did it give you like that hit my chest and say, hey?
Yeah, no. Maybe let me say my thoughts and then you go on, Kagiso. No, like, yeah, it is definitely like a form of validation. Number one, to see the caliber of you know, people, you know, or platforms or apps that were there, it's crazy. You know, the likes of your Checker 60, you know, your Bash, you know, these are people you look up to say, wow, you know. So winning amongst that, it's obviously impressive, number one. But also it's a testament to what we have built. You know, I feel like we have worked very hard, you know, and as much as it has taken us this time to get to this point, you know, it look like there's more that is coming. And what it means for us is definitely the exposure. Look at now, like there's so many media interviews that are happening. So, you know, it's going to open doors for us, you know, and look, we just arrived and yeah, but you know, there's a lot, but it's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah.
Excellent.
I mean, for me, or at least for us as a business, like as like CEO, like you, for me, it's massive in the inward perspective. Like for us to win this award with the core team that we've been working with the amount of resources that we've invested does not make sense. Let me start there, you know, and it's true testament to what's possible, because reality is in tech and in the ecosystem, people think there's one way of doing things. And what you find is that the businesses that do well and grow quickly are the businesses that have hyperscaled quickly or that have had massive backing, massive funding. Mm. We won this award having been funded by two angel investors and only like landed our first institutional investment, which was not massive this year. You know, like, let's start there. Like we did that ourselves to a degree. And also like for me, what people don't realize, I'm from Itsoseng in the Northwest. It's a small township in the middle of Northwest between Mahikeng and Lichtenburg. It's only claim to fame, if you Google it, is people fighting for water because we haven't had water since 2005, right? Lesego is from Bramfisher, Soweto. Togozani and Pongani are from Tsakani. It's that South African story to say, like, man, you don't have to be a certain way in order to achieve what we have achieved. And I genuinely hope that it sets that tone for what's possible. And also it opens eyes to be in the investment market, but to also back us, big organization, because we do business with big financial service providers who have taken the risk on working with us, not waiting for us to be a corporate of 20 people. And winning this kind of award it's actually validation that it's possible in the non-templated way. And that for me is, I hope it sets a precedent for us to think even more creatively about backing businesses.
Okay. A truly inspiring South African story. I guess my last question is, what do you have to say to young technologists who have used your app perhaps to go through matric and, you know, who have a vision for their future?
I guess for me, my I guess for me, my advice, you know, like especially to the youth is, you know, it's quite simple and very powerful, but it's like start with what you have and where you are, you know. Don't wait for the perfect conditions to pursue your dreams, you know. I think embracing continuous learning, especially in tech and in education, as these areas are kind of like shaping our future, you know. I think, you know, finding a problem and working deeply on it and finding like and working on it as like a solution for that problem, because of life is not, you know, life, there's a lot of issues that we're seeing around us, you know. Like for me, like how I even started it was basically a need that I saw to say, look, I want to solve this problem. And that's basically how I came about with the platform, right? So I think it's all about saying, how do we basically improve other people's life? And one thing I've realized about life is that the more you help, you know, the more you get value token for the help that you're providing. So it's actually not money, it's value token, people realizing your value within the, you know, the I would say the world, you know. So yeah, that's my advice. Yeah.
Okay. Kahisho?
Yeah, I mean, from my end, it starts with back yourself. Right? Back yourself. And I'd like to say we are blessed with problems. Problems
yes.
Present opportunities.
Waiting to be solved. Yeah.
With the right mindset. Back yourself. We are blessed with problems. And we have to stop waiting for someone to save us. We need to realize that we are actually the ones that we've been waiting for. So hold the bull by the horns. Don't ever consider yourself too small for any room. Don't ever consider yourself too small for any room. And honestly, it's an iterative journey, like Leseho said. One foot in front of the other. You put your head up one day and you're an App of the Award winner. When you started with one line of code in a back room in Soweto.
Yeah.
Okay, gentlemen, excellent. A truly inspiring South African story. Thank you for joining us on the show today.
Thank you for having us.
Awesome. Thank you.
That is Leseho Finger and Kagiso Masai of Matric Live for TCS.